Welcome to DevelopLex, a Middle Tech production hosted by me, Weston Lockhart, Ross Bogus, and Evan Knowles. This series will focus on the ins and outs of real estate development and investing, where we'll have the opportunity to sit down with developers of our cities, veterans of the industry, and key people that have over time made a massive impact on communities and neighborhoods. The purpose of this series is to be able to bring a knowledge base to our audience beyond that of what reading a book or watching a how-to video ever could, and educate from those who have done it by hearing their stories, both good and bad, along the way. We feel that historically the learnings of real estate have been inaccessible without being connected, and we would love to open the doors to the next generation of doers, as well as shine a light on how visions of community have been brought to life. We hope you enjoy. This episode is brought to you by Bank of the Bluegrass. It's easy to preach about being a community bank without actually operating that way, but I can attest as a real customer of Bank of the Bluegrass that they are truly in the community and for the community. Whether it's closing a real estate transaction that needs some creativity, troubleshooting an issue where you need a real person on the other end of the phone, or just the simple fact that when you walk in the door, your banker knows your name, Bank of the Bluegrass has you covered. Plain and simple, the best bank in town. Bank of the Bluegrass, member FDIC. NMLS 421548, Equal Housing Lender. DevelopLex is sponsored by SV and Stone Commercial Real Estate, a full-service commercial real estate firm located in Lexington, Kentucky, affiliated with the SVN International Network, which is comprised of over 1,600 advisors and staff and 200-plus offices across the globe. The SVN Stone team consists of experienced commercial real estate advisors in the heart of the Bluegrass. SVN provides commercial real estate services to large corporations, middle market businesses, and individual entrepreneurial investors. Serving the greater Lexington area, SVN offers advisory services for sales, leasing, management, and development of commercial properties locally, regionally, and nationally. With transaction volume of over $400 million, the advisors at SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate have vast experience and deep understanding of all aspects of commercial real estate.
Craftsman Contractors is Central Kentucky's one-stop shop for roofing, windows, siding, and gutters. CraftsmanContractors.com/contact us will get you straight to the form you need so that their team will get in touch about your project. Or just text Steven at 859-246-0108. When they finish your project of windows, siding, gutters, or roofing, you'll see what they mean when they say we build with integrity.
Welcome back to DevelopLex. Today you have Weston and Ross in the Awesome Inc. studio with Troy Turner. Troy has had a huge impact on Lexington over the years, and there are a few developments that he is known for, but I'll let him kind of talk a little bit more about that and his experience with some rehab projects and with some investing and developing. So, but thank you for coming on today, Troy.
Thank you, man. Excited to be here. You guys do a great job on your show. So
appreciate it. Here. So let's get into, as we always do, a little bit of background, and then we can go kind of more current day. But where are you from?
Man, I'm born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky. I went to Takes Creek High School, so I'm an old Creeker. I went from first grade through high school there, graduated, literally just grew up right down the street in Gainesway on Green Tree Drive is where I grew up at. And then kind of just stayed around that area most of my life. You know, my parents have the Shenaway house right up in the Christmas house, which we call the Griswold's house, right up the street there too. So kind of stayed in that area most of our life, and I'm not far from that area too. So born and raised in Lexington. All my family are still here. My kids, I've got five daughters, and so they're all right here. So
that's awesome. So did you grow up in the White House, or that was the big White House, as I'm sure a lot of the listeners know, if you're a Lexingtonian, is the house that everybody goes to Christmas time, and it has a big white show and all the things.
That's correct. Yeah. So yeah, it's the claim to fame is the White House. And, you know, my parents do a phenomenal job with that. My dad's getting ready to turn 80, and he's still as passionate about doing those lights every year as he was 20 years ago when he's done it. But it, you know, it inspires and blesses so many people that come out to see that. And so we still love it today to go over and do it. And it's like it's brand new every year you see it. So it's kind of cool. So, awesome. Yeah, pretty neat.
Okay. So Tate's Creek, did you go to college anywhere? What did you do after high school?
Well, I was going to plan on going to UK, and my dad sat down and had a conversation with me. He said, son, you either got to go get an education or you got to go get a job. And he said, but if you're going to go to get an education, you can't be partying and doing all the stuff that you've been doing in the past. So I said, well, I think I need to go get a job. school wasn't for me. At the time, I look back, I probably wish I would have got a better education, but because I've had to just try to work hard to overcompensate for that. But at the end of the day is I got into the business world, so I didn't go to higher ed or anything like that, and just went straight into getting in the business world, doing construction work, starting out.
Which is definitely, I mean, I think that society in general is kind of shifting that way anyway. Yeah. But it's definitely a theme with a lot of entrepreneurs. Mm. You're not alone in that. And there's some days that I kind of feel like, I mean, I loved UK, but I kind of feel like I should have shifted the other way. Yeah. But anyway, so you got into the construction world. And then obviously today you're involved in a lot of different projects. How did you kind of get to where you are today?
Well, it's an interesting story. My dad, owned a company called Amtech, electrical contracting firm. And so when I graduated high school, he had built some townhouses up in Shenaway. And so part of the deal was, is if Darren and I would help support some of that. Darren's my brother's a little bit younger than I am. So if we would kind of help do some of the construction work, mind you, he was like 15 and I'm 18, that he would allow us to live into one of those for a while as a show model until we got the rest of them finished up. So that's how I kind of started in the construction side, just from an early age at 18, 19 years of age. My dad and I are a lot alike. I love him to death, but we have a tendency sometimes to butt heads just a little bit, and our theory is a little bit different. But I just decided that I wanted to do my own thing. He had great success in what he had been doing, but I just wanted to step out and do something different. So I tried a couple things, still didn't figure out what was right. And so I ultimately had a couple uncles that they worked for an office technology company. And they come to me one night and said, hey, would you be interested in opening up a office technology company selling copiers and printers and things like that? And I said, what the heck? You know, it's, I don't know anything about it, but hey, we'll try it, you know, see if it's something sticks. So we did it, got involved in it. And unfortunately, one of my uncles decided to leave the first year into it because we wasn't making any money. My second uncle decided after a few years that he wanted to do something different. So I got stuck with an office technology company. I'm like, oh, what the heck do I do now? But God was blessed me enough, man, to just continue to thrive and grow. And I've always been a big believer that if you take care of people and you do the right thing, that there can be some good comes your way. And so just kept grinding every day, working 7 days a week, and just continue to build this office technology company. So that's kind of how I started out as far as just getting started in the business part of it.
Gotcha. And so you had a background with your family somewhat in real estate.
Correct.
How did you kind of take that office technology company and then shift more into real estate like you are today?
Sure. Well, one of the things, I had multiple locations throughout the state. So after paying rent for a while, you know, realizing, hey, man, I should buy some of my own buildings and just lease back to myself. So that's really kind of how I started just dabbling in it. You know, my dad was already doing some real estate already and kind of learned from some of the things that he had done and just kind of parlayed into doing my own things. And just kind of started just kind of buying a building by building as I had some real estate out there with my office technology company. And so that's how I got started originally.
Gotcha. And so I was asking you right before the show started, if I know what you're associated with, but if you had to kind of signal at what you're associated with today, Signature Club, which is very well known in Lexington, Turner, is it Business Park? Business Center.
Turner Business Center and Turner Development. And there's two entities.
And Turner part. Development. Mm-hmm. So what do those entities look like today, and what is your role in those today?
Well, so I sold my Commonwealth Technology Corporation actually 8 years ago, but I stayed on as an acting president for a while and on the board with Visual Edge that acquired me. And so as my dad is kind of getting up and trying to slow down and to retire soon, his portfolio that he had, has come in and kind of helped him take over some of that. Now, him and I also have some properties together that we owned through that portfolio, which is Turner Development. I had a friend of mine, I'm sure you all know, Amy Mellinger. personal friend of mine, her and her husband, Mark, she was talking to me one night. She said, hey, I don't know if you guys are interested in some property up here on Fortune Drive, but Mr. Miller's wanting to sell all this property up here. We think it would be a good asset to what you all currently have on Fortune Drive now. Would there be an interest in that? So kind of parlayed into looking at that. Obviously, that was a big ticket purchase price. I'll never forget when I sat down and talked to my dad about it. And I said, hey, do you want to be a partner in with this with me? And he said, oh, man, I don't mind doing a $5 or $6 million building, but when you're buying 11 buildings and 33 acres, that's a big ticket price. You about fell out on the floor. And I said, well, man, I think we can make it work. Obviously, we were fortunate enough to put something together for them, and it worked out. I think it was a win-win for both parties, and ended up buying all that property. So we pretty much own and operate all the property on Fortune Drive, which I think there's about, 21 or 22 buildings up and down through there. And we have the old Spencerian College building right there on Winchester Road. Mm-hmm. And then we've got one corridor across on Helm Street, too. And then a few other buildings throughout New Circle Road. So we're kind of in that corridor, Winchester Road, Fortune Drive area, and those buildings all through there.
And just to give a time stamp to this and a purchase price, when did that transaction happen and what was the price?
I don't know if I could share the price, but I will tell you, it's been 3.5 years ago. So we're talking 2018.
Okay.
Is when it closed on it. So, yeah.
And so obviously the development of Hamburg and all of that corridor had already kind of happened, but you guys already had property on Fortune Drive previous to that?
We did. Yeah.
Okay.
We did.
Gotcha. So what was the reasoning for, I mean, obviously that's a bigger conversation that you seem to have with Amy there, but what was kind of the allure for you guys?
Well, we had, there was a huge demand for flex space in town. And so we were pretty much full occupancy on all our current properties that we had. And to be very candid, there was some competition between the Fortune Realty Group and us time to time, with tenants wanting to move in space and things like that. So part of that was that. The other part was that when you can tie up a whole corridor, so to speak, and you can manage it, put your arms around what you're doing. And the other thing was, honestly, I think the buildings, our taste of what we've seen there and knew what we could do, even though Mr. Miller's done a phenomenal job with it, what he's built, I admire, but I also wanted to take something and take it to another level. And that's with landscaping, lighting, and doing a lot of the things that I've been doing to the buildings over the last few years. So I just seen the curb appeal that was the potential of the curb appeal that was there. It was right in our vicinity of what we do every day. Any of those buildings are, 500 yards from my office. So it just seemed to be a good natural fit.
Yeah.
And financially, I could see the potential of a lot of upside with the property itself, too.
So you said flex space. Just so we're all on the same page, you're talking about industrial flex space.
Yes, sir, that's correct. That is correct.
What kind of zoning do you all have out there?
That is B4.
Which is kind of a coveted zoning in Lexington, to my understanding.
Is that a
big reason? Is just the upside of industrial in Lexington?
Man, the warehouse, literally we get calls every single day for people looking for just warehouse space. Mm-hmm. And then when you could combine some office space / warehouse space, there's just not a lot of it in town, as you guys I'm sure know. It's just hard to find. The challenge, and go back to buying the property, the challenge was, too, is to build a brand new building on that corner lot on Winchester Road in Fortune, too. It's about almost a 4-acre lot. And so I've even looked recently by the time you try to build a brand new building, the lot and the cost of that, it's tough to be in the square footage price you need to be at based on building a brand new building. So it really made good sense of buying that property. It was already existing. Mm-hmm. And make the numbers work a lot better.
Something that you touched on right before we actually hit the record button was just landscaping. Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of signature things or any sort of upside that you guys try to add to your real estate that kind of makes it have a little bit more of a curb appeal? Yeah.
Well, one thing about our family as a whole is that, you know, my dad, it's funny, he used to own a company called Evergreen Garden Center. So back on, had a little place over on Winchester Road. And so he was just a huge landscapeaholic. I mean, we had palm trees. He'd have palm trees shipped into his house every year to go around his pool. And it's funny, but it's a long story with all that. But anyway, we just kind of got adapted to that because we were always doing landscaping at a young age. And so as we've gotten older, you know, I'm a big believer that curb appeal on anything, on a building or whatever it is, has as much impact as what you see on the inside of the building, whether it be residential real estate or whether it be commercial. And so we're big believers in, you know, very nice landscaping, maintaining the properties like that, because the curb appeal's got a lot to do with it, in my opinion. So so I've just always, you know, the Signature Club is the same way. We can talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, one of the big things that people love is that, you know, we don't cut any costs when it comes to making it look nice and look like a resort and things like that. And, you know, and the crazy part is it doesn't cost a fortune to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the beauty of it. It's not as expensive as people think, but man, it sure does make an impact.
I heard a quote a year ago, probably, that the best, I think it was actually a tweet. So yeah. I'll go ahead and disclose that. I saw a tweet a year ago that said something to the extent of the best ROI that you can get in real estate is new paint. Just yeah. simply painting a building makes all the difference in the world, which is funny. Yeah. Speaking of new paint, so let's touch on the Signature Club a little bit, okay. because there's probably, honestly, probably a lot of the listeners have okay. been there at one point in time. So how did you get started on that project, and what does that look like?
Oh, man, this is a funny story. I had, you know, my dad grew up over in Zandale area, so he could never afford to get in there. Back in the day, he'd have to jump the fence and they'd kick him back out and he'd jump the fence again.
That's
and,
an easily jumpable fence.
It was easy. And that's changed today. I'm working on that. I'm getting taller and taller. Yeah, some things haven't changed, but I'm working on that. But, you know, he called me one day and he said, "Hey, son," he said, he used to patronize the place when it was the Lansdowne Club. And he called me one day and he said, "Hey," he said, "I'm interested in looking at one to buy the Lansdowne Club. But I would like you to partner in with me on it and let you and I do it together." And I'm like, "Dad, man, we don't know anything about the country club business or a restaurant business or catering or anything like that. I just think that's just the craziest idea I've ever heard." And he said, "Oh, man, I could never afford to get in there. So I think it'd be something we could bring back to the community." So he said, "Let's do this thing." And I said, "Nah, man, I just think it's a bad decision." So it went away. About 3 months, 4 months later, he called me one night and maybe had a beer or two, maybe. And he said, "Man, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." So I went over and met with him. And he said, "I made a commitment to buy this club tonight." And he said, "But you have to do this with me together. You and I can do a good job with this. We can partner. And I think we can take, as he uses a reference, we can turn tragic into magic." And, because the club was really run down. I mean, it was in really, really bad shape. And so I agreed. We did it. And so...
Was there a choice to agree?
Yeah, I don't think I had a choice. Well, I think he might have got tearful on me just a little bit, but he was trying to pull the emotional side out of it. But so I felt guilty, and we did it. So the funny story with this thing, so we bought the property. We were just going to go in and remodel it, just kind of, you know, freshen it up. We put a budget together for about $3.5 million total purchase and renovating it. So we got into it for about 3 months, meeting with contractors, going through all the stuff. And these prices were coming back were just crazy, you know, of all the stuff we were having to do. So I called my dad and I said, "Hey," and I was kind of spearheading a lot of the project. He was obviously involved too. I called him and I said, "Hey, man, I think we need to talk. I think we just need to tear this thing down and start from scratch." He says, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I'm just telling you, in life, we are always big believer. You don't halfway do anything. You either do it first class, 110%, or you just don't do it, period. And that's been our philosophy. And why change that now? If we try to piecemeal this thing together, we're going to have problems years down the road." And he agreed. We did it. And so $9.5 million later, we opened up the Signature Club. So it's, you know, it's been a blessing to, I think, that area over there. It's really taken off and grown a lot. And, You know, we've had a huge waiting list over there for years for the memberships, but it's a great place to go and you know, friends and family to be able to meet and share life together and all kinds of stuff. So we've been very fortunate to how that's turned out.
What was kind of your vision for it? How did you all kind of dream of what you wanted to make that place?
We didn't even have a vision, to be honest with you. I mean, it was just, we knew that we could do something nice, but honestly, it has really changed from what our original concept was. I guess our vision was, and I'm joking a little bit with that, but it used to be a private restaurant at the beginning. So it was a supper club and you paid a membership to come to use the restaurant. And we thought that exclusivity would be kind of a, you know, cool thing to do in Lexington. It hadn't been done in a while. And so we did that. We're losing about $35,000 a month in it. And we realized real quick that, man, that restaurant business is not probably what we should be doing. So I ended up going and leasing that out. You know, when you've got a family atmosphere with young kids, generally speaking, I mean, most families don't want to go and take their kids in and spend $60 a plate for a meal. So we decided that it just needs to be a nice sports bar where you can go in there and, you know, have a drink, get good food, kids can come, and make it more of a family atmosphere. So that's what we changed the concept to a sports bar kind of mindset. And it really has taken off. Heather Trump, which owns Shamrocks in the cellar, or she, you know, she leases the cellar from me. She's been doing that, I guess, for about 8 years now and done an incredible job over there with it. So, yeah.
Are you looking to start or scale your real estate portfolio in Central Kentucky? Check out Rapid Fire Investments. They find off-market discounted real estate deals just for you, so you can save time and maximize profits. From single-family homes to multifamily apartments, no matter what your investment goals are, Rapid Fire can help you reach them. Sign up for their email list today and get notified when new properties become available. Just go to rapidfireinvestments.com. That's rapidfireinvestments.com.
Gotcha. The cellar is a great place to get a bite to eat. Yep. I've been there many a times.
Yeah, they do a great job.
That's fun. So through this experience, it kind of seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of seem like a rehabber. Like you like to buy a project, mm-hmm. have a vision for it. Do you feel like your construction backgrounds kind of helped with that, or has that kind of been your plan, or is that just kind of naturally happens?
You know, somewhat it's naturally happened. I think generally speaking is, you know, some people have a vision of things that they can see it clear, and some people maybe struggle with that. We've been blessed enough to can see something and look at it way past that, you know, and see what it can look like. And it's just, you know, I'm not smart at a lot of things, but one thing is I can envision some things. And when I bought that real estate development with the Serenity, my development, you know, my dad come in, my wife says, I'm absolutely crazy thinking about buying this thing, but I could see the vision of it. You know, I could literally picture it. So to answer that question is that, you know, yes, we've been fortunate to, for example, the Spencerian College that was over there on Winchester Road, which I don't know back, probably go back with that, but that used to be like an old Winn-Dixie back in the day, back in, I don't know, 70s or something like that. So that building had sat vacant for a while. It was an old red brick building. I mean, it looked horrible. It had 6-foot diameter columns out in the front of it and just horrible shape. But we could see the vision of it, so we bought it at a you know fair price on that, and was able to go in and do a whole new retrofit. And if you go look at it today, I mean, it looks like a brand new building. So we love doing stuff like that, and you know, financially, it's a lot of times makes better sense of retrofitting a lot of these places than it is trying to build sometimes brand new structures.
Yeah, yep. And you're also seemingly not the type of investor to buy a 7-cap. And just cash flow, like you're a value add kind of guy.
Correct. Yes. Yep.
So I would say the other thing that we wanted to touch on is the projects that you've gone right now with residential. Mm-hmm. How did you get into and kind of describe the development process with that?
Sure. Yeah. I mostly everything we've done in life has all been commercial. The new Brandon extension out off Takes Creek Road, it runs from Takes Creek Road to Nicholasville Road, was coming through all the way to Takes Creek. There was a gentleman that owns a bunch of land out there for years, and he had his home, his personal home, and a couple guest houses on the property. And so I'd heard that it was for sale, and I want to get into too much of the detail with all that, but ultimately ended up buying it, and it was 210 acres, and I knew that the new Brandon Crossing was going to come through there. So after buying it, talked to my brother and Darren, and he got involved with me on it, and I said, hey, man, I don't need 200 acres to take care of and mow, and I don't need all that stuff. I said, why don't we develop 120 of these acres? I'll keep 80 and let you and I develop it. And so he said, hey, man, I'm in. You know, tell me what you need to do, and we'll take it. So I kind of spearheaded it, you know, and Darren, obviously very financially involved in it too. But we took it, and just him and I collaborated back and forth and together and kind of come up with the name. And especially with me having a horse farm, we decided to call it Serenity Equine Estates. And the mindset was, I have some horse barns on my property that I built, and that you could have trails that run through the development. And I ended up creating a 5-acre lot. So I think there's 18 5-acre lots. And so that was my first time ever doing a residential development. And I was excited. It turned out really nice. And we've sold all the lots in a very short period of time. And, you know, it went pretty well. So
walk through what the development process looks like for virgin land up to somebody getting to live on it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to it. Obviously, you have to get your attorneys involved and get zone changes. And you've got to, I believe Banks Engineering did all the survey and stuff for it. And then, of course, then you have to have contractors come in and build for the infrastructure for the roads. And, you know, of course, we have septic sewer out there because they're 5-acre lots, but all your underground utilities, cable, water, and all that stuff. So, you know, it's a process. It was about, if I recall, it was about 8 or 9 month process just getting the zone changed to that, and which we didn't have much pushback on that because, I mean, we were really bringing more value to it than trying to put a bunch of cluster homes in there. I mean, these are all nice 5-acre lot, so we didn't have any pushback with that, or it had taken a lot longer. So it's about an 8-month process, but it's you got to go through the engineers, you know, obviously you got to get the legal team involved in it and go through all that. And in Jessamyn County, where, you know, they were really good to work with too, I'll say. First time I'd ever worked with them in anything in Jessamyn County, but they were, you know, very good to work with. So.
And when you went into that project, I mean, it sounds like it kind of happened organically, but was the thought process to be able to kind of back out your cost basis by selling off the remaining portion of the lots, or was that just organic?
You know, I mean, well, selfishly, financially, it would have been a lot better to put a bunch of cluster homes and do all that. When you take that out of it, you know, that was not my motive. It was more to just didn't want a bunch of homes around me, just to be quite frank. But so I wanted, you know, some privacy and stuff like that and having some land. But so that's why I decided to do 5-acre lots instead of, you know, 1/2-acre or 1-acre cluster lots. So that was the main reason. But yeah, to your point, you know, the mindset was, hey, this property can subsidize, you know, mm-hmm. my other land and the home, because there was a beautiful home there that had to be completely, probably been cheaper to tear it down, but had to be completely redone, new pools, new everything. I've got an entertainment barn on the property there too, and I don't lease it out. It's just for family and gatherings for friends and stuff like that. But anyway, so that obviously helps compensate for that other. So there was a business mindset tied in behind all that. So
commercial to residential, though, is a pretty big shift from what you know. What do you feel like one of the bigger lessons that you've learned along the way? It doesn't even have to be in that residential focus, but in your years of real estate, what have been some lessons that you could kind of give as a knowledge base to people?
Well, you know, I'm always a big believer in anything you do in life is that if you can overachieve what anybody's expectations are, whether it be a building that someone's going to move into, or whether it be a piece of real estate land that you're selling a 5-acre lot, or whether it be a country club or office technology, whatever the things I've been involved in, I believe if you do the right thing, you overachieve on what the expectations are, that I believe that there's good success to that. I really do. That doesn't mean it's always that way, but it substantially increases your percentage of doing well in those things. And so, you know, from the commercial side, again, just as you mentioned earlier, you know, putting paint on a wall. I'm in the process of taking all our buildings on Fortune Drive up on the Turner Business Center side, and I'm repainting a lot of those, redoing them all right now. And, you know, most people would look at them and say, hey, they look fine. They look nice to me. But you know, those are the things. So I'm just big into, as I went back to and said earlier, curb appeals, I think, has a lot to do with it. And, you know, as you know, what they've done downtown here with all the new landscaping and the new sidewalks. I mean, I can tell you, me personally, when I drive down Winchester Road and see that, I mean, it puts a smile on my face. I'm sure it does with you guys too. And when you see stuff like that, so I don't know if that's answering your question.
No, that's great.
But you know, that's a portion of it there. I think the biggest thing is, you know, I think there are opportunities in this market that where these areas that need some improvement, you know, there's some risk involved that you can go in. For example, you know, when we did that Spencerian College building, that kind of got run down in that area a little bit. Then all of a sudden, you know, we put our new building in, and then all of a sudden the other property sells, Infinity, the Greens, you know, put their Infinity dealership in there. Now you've got this brand new storage facility. So they kind of, you know, they feed off of one another. And it actually, what actually happens is that your value of your building ends up going. If I tried to buy that building today for what I bought it for 6 years ago, it'd substantially be a lot higher. So I think there's opportunities that I've learned too, that you can go into some of these markets that are, you know, not as much sought after, that needs some improvements, and if you're willing to take a little bit of risk, it can pay off. Now, there's risk involved, but you know, if you do it right, you'll start people start feeding off of that.
Yeah, and you kind of create a little momentum in that pocket, just by purchasing some and giving it some new life. You touched on different parts of town that you guys have some ownership in. Let's move kind of into forward facing Lexington questions. What parts of town do you feel excited about right now? Are there things that you feel excited about in Lexington as a community, et cetera?
Well, obviously the new Central Baptist Hospital that's going out on Winchester Road. I mean, that's just going to explode when you get past the, under the bridge there and you get past that. That's exciting of all what's going to happen out there over the next few years. I mean, it's happening now, as we know, and hopefully we can get someone to come and put a Topgolf out there or something.
Oh my gosh, I know.
That's what we need to get them to do. And that would be pretty cool. But so I think that area is really going to continue to explode. And I've actually looked at some land out there just recently about purchasing out there. But I think that's an excellent market. You know, my brother is doing Turner Commons downtown right over the Viaduct. And he's got all that. That was the... tobacco warehouse.
Was that Vaughn Tobacco?
Yeah. And so he's done that, you know, and, you know, very proud of what he's done with that. I mean, he's taken that thing and has just put a brand new building on it. I think they moved the battle. Well, I know they did. They moved the Battle Axe.
I just went last weekend for the first time.
Yeah. So he bought all that property and he's redeveloping that. So I think that's going to be over the next 4 or 5 years going to really explode. And what he's doing with that. Darren has a great vision of things too, so we're excited about what he's doing about it. So, and again, that's a risky, you know, you take something like that, you just don't know what you're going to, you know, how that's going to play out, because it is a little bit narrow down through there. Mm-hmm. But he's had a good creative team that's kind of helped him do some cool stuff with that.
You guys have been pretty focused on Lexington, seemingly. Yep. What kind of attributes about Lexington has made it enticing for you to purchase in and develop? And
well, we know the market, you know, that's the biggest thing, you know, born and raised here, you know, we understand. So I can remember it back. I'll date myself here a little bit, but you know, back in the early 80s and, you know, through school and stuff like that, and just see how much it's changed and what, you know, the positive spins that have happened onto it. And so, you know, we're just, we love the community we live in. Lexington's a small town, obviously, and I think it's an incredible place to live. You know, I think there's still room for improvement. I'm hoping with what they're doing downtown that we can still go in and do landscaping on trees and corridors down some of these areas at the main entrances that come into downtown. And there's some areas that need to be cleaned up, and I hope they continue to push that. But, man, we just love Lexington. We've loved this market. feel like that we understand it pretty well, for the most part. And, you know, it's home. And, I have opportunities to go outside the state all the time and do new deals with opportunities, but you know, it's just not in my wheelhouse. You know, at my age, I don't know if I want to go out and travel and do all that stuff like I used to. So yeah. I'd rather just keep it at home as much as you can and just really put back into our community. I love this town. So.